later parts of this chapter might lead you to change your conclusions that you've come to in this little exercise. But I think MOOCs are really interesting because they raise fundamental questions about teaching in a digital age. There are lots of claims that are made often by institutions that they're offering MOOCs, which really often don't meet the fairly strict criteria of being massive, being open, being online, and being a course. For instance, what is massive? Certainly for Cormier, Downes, and Siemens, when they offered their first MOOC, they went from 27 registered students on a traditional course to 2,200. 2,200 isn't very many compared with the 200,000 that Coursera got, but it was still a scaling up, of a significant scaling up of teaching. Then we've got all kinds of versions, as you will see later. You know, one I think is not really MOOCs, but they call themselves a MOOC, and that's what's called SPOCs. They are small, private, online courses, which only qualified students within a program can take. Hence, they're online, but they're not open. I don't really see what the difference is between that and a standard university online credit course. So there are other examples. For instance, in Cape Breton University, they offered a course on Aboriginal culture, Mi'kmaq culture, that attracted 5,000 students. I mean, for that institution, those getting 5,000 students, and particularly for the Aboriginal profession that offered that course, 5,000 was a really significant number, and they felt that this was a really good contribution to the truth and reconciliation process. So massive is really in the eye of the beholder, and it doesn't have to be in huge numbers. I think opening up to new people is a very successful use of MOOCs. Now, the other issue that comes up is the difference between free and open. To be honest, if you're charging fees for a MOOC, I don't see how that differs from a standard continuing education course where you'd be charging fees. Fees may be lower, but that you still have to have the money to pay the fees. So I think that limits their openness. Now, many institutions now offer MOOC-like courses using their own video server and local marketing. In other words, you don't have to have a MOOC on a big platform. You can run it, if you've got a video server already in your university, you can run it off that. So I'll give you some examples of a fairly small university, University de Trois-Rivières in Quebec, offered two MOOCs, one on basically how to do your taxes, and the second one on the importance of play in the development of children. And again, they got 4,500 to 5,500 people enrolling for these courses, and they were very happy with that because they were getting the knowledge, the special knowledge of their faculty out to a general audience. That's a typical continuing education approach, but it's a great way for institutions to market themselves, to show what kind of expertise they've got and what contribution the university is making towards human progress, for instance. In terms of the question of the quality of MOOCs, well, again, this will come up much more later, but some of the criteria you might be thinking of is, are they using high-quality professors? Is it good pedagogy that they're using? What are the completion rates like? Do these courses fill a gap in the education market that's not being met at the moment? I'm sure there are other criteria you could come up with, and we'll discuss a lot of these issues in the following sections. Mm-hmm.